Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Let's hold up our Bible. Let's say it. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Wow, sound like WWF right there. Praise the Lord. Open your Bible tonight to the Old Testament, to the book of Ecclesiastes, would you? Ecclesiastes 12. Before we put it on the screen, guys, let me set up the introduction, and we're in a series called The Happiness Advantage. The Happiness Advantage. Pastor, where'd you get the idea for this series? Well, a couple years ago, I have a good friend. He's a sports psychologist. One of the teams that he represents is the Cardinals. And he told me, Dave, you need to get this book on the happiness advantage. You're in the ministry. You're helping people. I think this book will help you to help people. I said, okay. So I went out and bought an Audible a couple years ago. I've listened to it a couple times. It's a great secular book. The whole thing is about research that they've done, professional studies on people who are happy versus people who are unhappy. And the advantage that happy people have over unhappy people. That's where they got the title, The Happiness Advantage. And do you know, boy, we're right on at Church on the Rock, to God be all the glory. Because one of my staff came to me today and said in staff meeting, did you know that today is actually called the International Day of Happiness? It actually is. It's called the International Day of Happiness on the calendar today. So we're right on teaching on happiness. Yeah, praise the Lord. So we're talking about the happiness advantage, and I brought out to you three major reasons I'm teaching on this, because in that book, they listed several benefits of people who go to work happy versus people who go to work or school or church unhappy. He said, people who are happy, number one, they make more money. And boy, that's true, isn't it? You know, negative people don't get raises. Negative people don't get the bonuses and the promotions and the trips. No. But in that book, secular, happy people make more money. I want you to make more money. You know, we don't worship money, but we use it as a tool to take care of our family, the kingdom, the church. Amen. And push the kingdom ahead. Number two, it says they achieve their goals more than unhappy people. Well, we're to be goal setters. We teach it here at church. We're to set goals and we're to reach, aim for those goals. And I want you to be a goal setter. You'll be happier. I want you to reach your goals. You'll be happier. Well, in this book, Secular, the second benefit I want to bring out to you, and there were many, many more, was that people who are happy tend to reach their goals more than unhappy people. Number three, the third reason I'm teaching this whole month is because you and I both know relationships make us or break us, right? All you need is one Delilah in your life to ruin your life, okay? And so, you know, they make us or break us. It's so important. We have small groups of Church on the Rock. They're rocking and rolling, amen. We push sections of communities and all the different ministries and all the things we do here, our dream team, our growth track. We need godly, the right kind of relationships that'll bring out the best in us. Amen? So it said in that book, the third thing is people who are happy tend to have healthier relationships, life-giving relationships. I want you, as a pastor who loves you, I want you to make more money. I don't want you to be in pressure, stressed out over finances. Number two, I want you to set goals and reach them. Have a vision, because people with a vision are happy. People without it perish. That's this coming weekend. Amen. Preview, coming attractions. And then number three is they have healthier relationships. And I want you to have God connections that will bring the best out in you and you can bring the best out in them. It's a win-win, right? So that's what we're talking about, and that's why we're talking about it, and that's the reason. So I've been giving you three steps the first weekend, and then last weekend I gave you three more action steps, and tonight I want to give you just one because it's Wednesday night, okay? All right, so let's just review for a second and look at Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Now, before we read it, in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, before we read it, is that the right one? Praise God. Knowing who is, keep his command. Sounds good. Maybe I gave the guys the wrong one. Did I give them the right one? Or is that the right one, church? You've been with me, right? Is Ecclesiastes 12 is the last chapter, right? Yeah, 13. Okay, it doesn't look right there. Okay, oh, it's a continuation, the comma. Okay, praise God. So let me give you the definition of happy. Happy in the Bible, another word for it is blessed. I want you blessed. So I'm teaching on happiness. Happy is not joy. Y'all got that down, please? Because I've been around Christians for 50 years, and they tend to confuse it. When you talk about happy, the joy of the Lord. I'm not talking about the joy of the Lord. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's supernatural. I'm talking about happiness. It's an emotion. Difference. God wants our emotions to be blessed. He wants us to manage them and them not manage us. God is an emotional God. He gave us our emotions to enjoy our emotions, not to be held captive by them. We control them. They don't control us. Can I have a witness in the house? So the Bible Dictionary, Vine's Expository Dictionary, Strong's Concordance, the word happy in the Bible, it means to move forward. Now, don't forget this because it's going to come up later in our sermon tonight. It means to move forward and to grow. Happy in the Bible. Move forward. That would be what I call progress, productivity, fruitfulness. So it means to move forward and to grow. So what do we learn from that? Growing Christians are happy Christians, right? Growing people tend to be more energetic, more excited about life, more excited about the future. They tend to be happier people who are growing. Can we all have a witness on that? Okay, now in the secular Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, I can't believe it was in the dictionary, but if I'm lying, I'm frying. Get the 1828 edition of it, okay? And it means happy. It means to enjoy the favor of God. The favor of God. Enjoy the favor of God. Number two, enjoy the presence of God. How cool is that? To enjoy the presence of God and to enjoy the favor of God and to have peace of mind. That's happiness. How cool is that? As your pastor, I want you to have peace of mind. Because if you don't have peace, you can't hear God. And if we can't hear God, we make the wrong decisions. Amen. We can't be led by God if we don't hear God, and we hear God primarily by the peace on the inside is the umpire to our life. So happy in Noah Webster's dictionary edition of 1828 means peace of mind. It means to enjoy the favor of God, and it means to enjoy the presence of God. So I left you this last weekend. Then I went on to tell you that happiness is being faithful where you are. Everyone say faithful. Number two, grateful for what you have. Everyone say grateful. And number three, generous with what you have. Everyone say generous. So steps of action that we walked away from church this weekend is that make up you're going to be faithful no matter what happens. You're going to be faithful. The faithful person will abound with blessings. Amen. Overflow. Number two, grateful. Gratefulness, even in the secular book on the happiness advantage, it said people who are grateful and thankful are more happy. I found out you can't be thanking God and worrying and fretful at the same time, right? I found out I can't be thanking God and feeling sorry for myself at the same time, right? So grateful and faithful. And then we said generous, right? Generosity. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. All right. So with that in mind, let's look at the scripture now. All has been heard. This is Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived outside Christ. All has been heard. At the end of everything I've said, he's saying, what do we do? Fear God, worship God, know that he is, keep his commandments, comma, for this is the whole of man, This is the full original purpose of man. Notice, this is our purpose. What? To know God. Number two, to worship God. You with me? That's our purpose. Pastor, we lead people to a God who's for them, and we lead them to a God who has a what? Purpose for their life. What's our number one purpose tonight? Know God. Know God. Before your career, before your job, before your calling, before your family, before your hobbies, before your desires and interests that you might have, our number one purpose is to know God. So every time you come to this church, from the children to the seniors, we're helping you know God, right? Find your purpose, right? Find freedom and make a difference with your life. Isn't that cool? Every time you come here, I try to help you get to know God a little bit better. And that's the original purpose for you and me. So I'm helping you. Our team is helping you walk in your purpose. Oh, that's exciting to me. Is it to you? All right. So this is the whole purpose. And look at this. This is Bible. This is not blunt. This is the foundation for what? All happiness. What's the foundation? I thought, you know, if, when I get the new car. No. When your brother-in-law will point out the dents in it when you go to the family reunion. When I get the new house, no, you find out that taxes just went through the roof. No, I get that new job, then I'll be happy, Pastor. And the people, you can't stand where you work, their relatives work where you're going. Come on, we've all been there, done that, got the T-shirt, right? We think we escaped from them, and they followed us to the next church, the next job, the next marriage. Amen. So it's important then that we realize we've got to stop waiting. We've got to stop waiting to get happy. So many people in the world that you work with, might live with, next to, are waiting to be happy. And while they're waiting to be happy, they're miserable where they are right now. And they get addicted to all kinds of things that they think will bring them happiness. At the end of it, they find out it's futile. It does not give them what they're looking for. Right, church? So the foundation for all happiness, number one, let's review. Make sure you have it in your notes, is know God. Know God. So if I want to be happy, if I want to be happy, regardless of the circumstances of what's happening around me, happiness is a positive emotion. If I want to be happy, if I want to make more money, have better relationships that don't subtract from me, but they add to me and they multiply me, if I want to reach my goals, then I'm going to choose, I'm going to decide, like Abraham Lincoln said, we're about as happy as we make up our mind to become, to be. So it's a choice, it's a decision. So you and I then, if we're going to be happy, then we need to make number one priority in our life, know God. So tomorrow morning, the first thing I want to do before I even get out of bed is start praising Him, right? I want to start praising Him. I want to surrender and submit my day to Him because He draws nigh to the humble. So I can get close to God before I get out of bed. I can know Him a little bit better before I get out of bed through praise and worship, surrender, submission, acknowledging Him in all my ways. He'll direct our path and crown it with success. Are you with me, family? All right, so know God. Say that with me. And then number two, it said worship God. How do you get closer to God? You think more about Him. Whatever you're thinking about all the time, you're getting closer to, and it's getting bigger in your life. Think about pornography, it gets bigger. Think about money, it gets bigger. Think about your career, it gets bigger. Think about your children, family, it gets bigger. Whatever you think about gets bigger, and whatever you think about, you get closer to it. Right? So if I want to get closer to God, the Bible says the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. It goes on to say the fool does not have God in their thoughts. So you and I, if we want to get closer to God, just stop and think about God more throughout the day. Can I have an amen, a selah, or something? Just stop and look at the size of God throughout the day, and you'll get closer to Him. Amen. So we worship God by making Him the most important thing, the most valuable thing in our life. Worship comes from worth. How valuable, how important is God in our life? He's everything, isn't He? So He needs our devotion. He needs our concentration, right? He needs our adoration, right? He needs everything about us. You know, we want to give to Him and live for Him and be sold out for Him and worship Him. All right? So number one, I get happy by knowing God. Number two, by worshiping God. Number three, we said random acts of kindness. Right? We found a scripture in the Bible, more than one. Those who give to the poor is as happy they will be. So isn't it great? Don't you feel good when you give and bless? And yeah, sure you do. And then we went on from that. That was the first weekend. And we went on from that. And we looked at Matthew 5 and verse 8. Can we go there? Matthew 5 and verse 8. These are the Beatitudes. That's the attitudes that should be in our life, right? The Beatitudes, the attitudes that should be in our life. So what's the first word? What's the second word? Remember, I told you synonyms, right? Blessed and happy in the Bible. So blessed and happy and spiritually prosperous are those who what? Possess the happiness. So how do we possess the happiness that comes from the Lord? Number one, by experiencing God's favor. So if you're taking notes, that was the next one, wasn't it? We learned to focus on the favor of God. How many have been doing that since we taught on that? Could you raise your hand? Amen. Six of us. Oh, praise the Lord. Overwhelming revival, a church on the rock. Come on now, pinch yourself and tell yourself throughout the day as many times as you can, I double dog dare you to do it 10 times tomorrow. And then I dare you to do it 10 times the next day, 10 times the next day. If you did it for 31 days, you'd be a totally different person. Yeah, you really would. When you focus on the favor of God. Now, how do you do that? You start with your mouth. Am I giving you too much tonight? You start with your mouth. You start with your mouth. You start with your mouth. Faith is activated by your mouth. You know that, right? Faith is activated by your words. Faith is released with your mouth. So as many times I've been doing it, as many times as I possibly can, I've ramped it up. I've umped it up. Remember, I told you, Jerry Savelle's my favorite coach, right? He'll be here in a few weeks. And right after he's with Brother Copeland at Keith Moore's church, he's coming up here, okay? So he's my favorite coach, right? So he said, Dave, you got to say it. The favor of God's on your life as many times as you can. Now, if you and I want the favor of God, we'll get serious. And I want the favor of God this year. Because the favor of God can do for me what nobody else can do for me. How about you? Yeah, say it with me. I have the favor of God on my life. Oh, you sound so good. Now, just do it by yourself the rest of this week, right? About 7,943 times. You think I'm kidding. I'm really not kidding. You know the lady who wrote the book on the brain, what's her name? Yeah, Karen Leaf, we've been trying to get her here for years. So somebody said, Pastor, you should have her. Well, we've been trying to get her here for years, but she's really busy, okay? If you've listened to her stuff, if you read her books, she said, actually, for you to change your thinking, you got to say a thought 7 times a minute. Check it out in her book, in her resources. She said, you got to say a thought 7 times a minute to actually get where you begin to renew your mind. She's a scientist. She's a brain scientist. Now think about it. That means we need to say, I have the favorite God of my life 7 times a minute throughout the day. If we're actually going to begin to transform our thinking and renew our mind and really believe what we're saying so it can come to pass. So that's going to blow our mind. Actually, none of us, you know, are at that level 7 times a minute, but how about once? Okay, blessed and happy are those when pastor gets done on Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. All right. So, focus on the favor of God, and then we get the happiness of God. We said, number five, by His grace, right? So, that was the next thing we talked about this weekend. You focus on the grace of God. What is that? That's everything God is. That's everything God has. That's everything God can do. You focus on the grace of God. Don't focus on your impossibilities. Don't focus on the things you can't do, don't have, where you can't go. Focus on God, who He is, what He has, and what He can do in your life. And I promise you, you'll get happy. Amen, amen, amen. So we talked about focusing on the favor of God. And then we left off here. Look at the third thing. And notice, you'll be happy regardless of your outward, even if your mother-in-law comes to live with you. And I love my mother-in-law, by the way. Praise God. But whoever you don't want to come live with you, if they come live with you, you can be happy regardless of. Y'all see that? Oh, is this Bible? Regardless of the outward conditions that you and I are in, we can have this positive emotion called happiness. right? If we are pure in heart, we shall see God. What is that pure in heart? That's God's forgiveness, right? So that was the next thing we said. Isn't this number six on our list of to-do? Thank you. Praise God. One, number six. Can I hear six? Somebody, six, six, six. Oh, that's the mark of the beast. Okay, six. Okay, so we focus on God's forgiveness in our life. Because, see, if you don't know you're forgiven and you don't walk in that forgiveness, you'll be condemned. Walking in guilt, walking in shame over our mistakes, our transgressions, and our sins. And when you're walking in shame and guilt and condemnation, I've taught you, your faith won't work. Right? So let me give you a scripture. This is a new one, Psalm 32, verse 1. Let's read it together on the count of three, can we? One, two, three. Continually. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Look what he says, blessed and happy. So we're talking about, because if you're happy in an unhappy world, remember Zig Ziglar's book? I gave you the resource. When you're happy in an unhappy world, you have advantages over the people you work with, live with, go to school with. You'll make more money, you reach more goals, and you have better relationships. Secular book. All right? Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is he who has forgiveness of his transgressions continually exercised upon him, whose sin is covered and forgiven. Notice, when you know your mistakes are under the blood of Jesus Christ, when you know your sins and mistakes and your past has been forgiven, I promise you, you should get happy. Amen. Amen? Amen? Stop thinking about our mistakes. We all make mistakes. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all stumble. We all miss it. Why would he have in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us? That's written to Christians. Christians sin. We don't want to sin, but we do sin, and we do miss it, and we do fall. But the good news is we confess it. He forgives us. We get up, and we get on with it. And we know we're forgiven. It's buried in the sea of forgetfulness. And God puts a sign up, no fishing here. Amen. Some of you don't know what that theology is all about there, but praise God. All right, so let me give you the next one. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts 20, 35. And we talked about this, but the random acts of kindness, the random acts of kindness. But let's look at this verse here. Acts 20, verse 35. Now, this is in the book of Acts, but it's in red letter because they're quoting Jesus. And I want you to see what it says. In everything I've pointed out to you by example, how? Boy, example, mom and dad, parent, is the greatest motivation for your children. Example is the greatest motivation. Whatever you want them to be motivated to do, you be. Example is the greatest motivation. And he said, in everything I pointed out to you by example, that by working diligently in this manner, we ought to assist the weak, be mindful of the words of who? The Lord Jesus Christ, how he himself said, it is more blessed. And look what it says in parentheses, it is more blessed. What does it say, church? Makes one happier. Wow. Makes one happier. Makes one happier. Notice, makes one happier and more to be envied to give than to receive. Isn't that a great verse to stand on? When you're sowing seeds, when you're doing random acts of kindness, when you're serving. Wow. When you're serving. And that's the next point I want to give to you. Another way to get happy is by having a servant's heart. Servant leadership. Dream team. A church on the rock. A servant's heart. You and I get happy through serving. Now, look at it in John chapter 13 on the overheads, John 13, verse 15, if we could. Now, this is where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Do y'all remember that, church, where Jesus washed the disciples' feet? He was leading by example. And then look what he says. He said, for I have given you this what? The greatest leadership is to lead by example. The greatest leadership is to lead by example. The greatest motivation is by example. So he said, I've given you this example so that you should do in your turn what I have done what for you. He just washed their feet. He gave them a living picture, a living example of serving. Serving. Say it with me. Serving will make me happier.
Okay?
So look at the next verse, verse 17. Verse 17. If you know these things, if you know these things, now Jesus is talking, blessed and what? Blessed and happy. If you have a servant's heart, you have servant leadership. If you have a servant's heart, servant leadership, through serving, you become happier. It's Jesus' words, not my words, not our dream team people on the dream team's words. That's Jesus' words, right? He says that you will be happy and to be envied if you practice them, if you act accordingly, and what? Really do them. So notice that through serving, and that's what I want to show you tonight, that through serving that you and I can become happier. Now, through serving, let me give you a few words. Servanthood is seeing, number one. Servanthood is seeing, number two. Seizing, number three. Serving. Servanthood is seeing a need, seizing the opportunity, and serving that need. Servant leadership is seeing a need and then seizing the opportunity. It's called ministry, to meet that need through service. If you want to find out God's destiny for your life, one of the quickest ways, now you owe me for this on a Wednesday night, and I sure do love you on Wednesday night, amen. But you owe me on this, because if you're trying to find God's purpose, trying to find God's will for this season of your life, trying to discover God's destiny for your life, you will discover God's destiny for your life through serving. I remember when I didn't really know what God exactly what he wanted me to do in the church. So I went to the pastor and I said, what are the needs? What are the needs? He said, well, we need somebody for the bus route. I said, I'm your man. I'm your man. Bus route. Okay. So I didn't feel in my heart a leading to do the bus route, but I moved my body in that direction and my heart followed. Y'all understand? See, to start serving, you don't wait till you feel like doing it, till you get some doodads, till you get some emotion. You act on the principles that Jesus said, if you will serve, then you'll be happier, a happier person, more fulfilled, satisfied, and blessed. So the pastor said, we need somebody on the bus route. I said, I'm your man. So on Saturday morning, I would go with him. Nobody else would. And we would go visit the bus kids, the bus families. And then Sunday morning, I'd drive a bus. Okay? And so I did that for a while. And then I said, what else do you need, pastor? We need somebody in the prison ministry. We can't get anybody to help in the prison ministry. Now, leadership, servant leadership, is that you see a need in the church. You seize the opportunity to meet that need. And you meet it through serving. And then through serving, you discover God's destiny for your life. And while you're doing it, you're happier because you're giving out. Right? Freely you receive, freely you are to give. And so I said, I'm your man. I'm your man. I know I'm called, don't know exactly what for, but I'm your man. So every Sunday afternoon, and I went to Dallas, Texas, downtown, prison ministry, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Every Sunday, had to drive 40 miles round trip. I'm in college. I'm doing the bus ministry on Saturday morning. I'm driving a bus, riding a bus on Sunday morning. I'm going back to Dallas, Texas, and in the jail ministry. I didn't feel like going to jail on Sunday afternoon in Dallas, Texas. It's right across the street from where our President Kennedy was shot. It's right there. That's where it was. I didn't feel like doing it, but I moved my body in that direction, knowing that I'm walking in obedience, knowing that you can't steer a parked car. You got to get moving. You got to get moving. And servant leadership is leading is by example. Servanthood is you see a need, you seize the opportunity, and you serve it. You meet that need. And in doing it, you're walking in obedience. And Jesus said, you'll be happier. And if you're happier, you make more money. If you're happier, you have better relationships, and you reach more goals than people who are unhappy. Can you give the Lord a big praise tonight? Am I helping anybody tonight? Amen. Now, here's what I know. Do you remember we started out, as the team comes out, with our definition of happy in the Bible dictionary? It was to move forward and to grow. Right? You grow through serving, not sitting. I don't grow muscles by sitting at home eating Doritos. You grow muscles by going into the gym and doing. I don't grow at church by sitting. I grow in church through serving. Are you with me? Now, here's another key. Steve will tell you this, that if I'm serving at Church of the Rock, our incredible dream team, if you're not a part of it, please join the dream team. You'll be happier. You'll make more money. Secular book. Get it. Happiness Advantage. Change your life. You'll reach more goals and have better relationships. Okay? Now, if you're serving at our church, I salute you. I thank you. I need you. You're awesome. You're wonderful. I believe in you. But if you're serving and not growing, there's two reasons why. Either I'm in the wrong place or I have the wrong attitude. Well, I'm serving as an usher, but I'm just not growing. Well, that means that if I'm ushing and I'm not growing, I shouldn't be an usher, or I'm ushing with the wrong attitude. Now, none of you ever had a wrong attitude, but I can remember serving in the church growing up where I had a stinking thinking attitude. Now, you never have, but I did. Confession is good for my soul, and you love to hear it. Praise the Lord. But if I'm helping in the children's ministry and I'm not growing, it's not because I'm serving. I'm just too busy, Pastor. I'm in the family. I got a job. I ain't got no time to serve in the church. And I'm not growing. I'm frustrated. If I'm serving, according to Jesus, if I'm serving and I'm not growing, one of two reasons. I'm in the wrong department or I have the wrong attitude. And once I adjust one of those or both of those, oh my goodness, I'm growing. And if I'm growing, I'm happy, regardless of the circumstances, because I'm moving forward, bless God. Did I help anybody tonight? I sure do love you. Give the Lord all the praise, would you? Thank you for His Word.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.